I'm going to read you one verse of Scripture in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, and then we're going over to the New Testament to read a little bit. The book of Proverbs, chapter 29. The book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Now, everybody get this message tonight. It's important. Important subject we're going to be dealing with this evening. Proverbs, chapter 29. Now, I really, really appreciate you coming tonight. We've got a big crowd here this evening. We probably got more people here tonight than probably 95% of the churches in this county tonight. Maybe about all of them. And this is great. I thank God for it's encouraging to me when people come out on Sunday night. And God looks down and He sees this. He said, I'm going to bless them people. They keep that up. I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. That's right. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. All we got to do is hunger for it. I hope that you'll be praying. And Mr. T, we talked about fasting. And I will be Wednesday. And I hope the Lord laid on your heart somebody to fast with. And we're praying for some land, two or three places specifically, and one real specifically in my heart. But I don't know. You know, whatever the Lord wants. And I want you to help me pray. If God lays it on your heart, fast about it this week. Amen. Mom said this morning, she said, Danny, said, y'all need a building. She said, there's people back there shaking, trying to get in the bathroom. I didn't understand that, but I guess all these women were just shaking, saying, hurry. Maybe it's going like this, hurry, hurry, hurry. But we need to pray about that. If God lays it on your heart, fast about it. Do without a meal. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. All right, here's a verse of Scripture that really, really help you, especially you young men and young ladies. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, everybody here tonight fits into one of them two categories. You either fear God and you don't care what people think, listen to me, or you fear people and don't care what God thinks. People who fear God don't care about what people think about them. And people who are scared of other people don't worry about what God thinks about them. Which category are you in tonight? When you kids go to school tomorrow, do you fear God or are you scared of them kids you go to school with? Scared they're going to call you a weirdo or fanatic or find out you're a Christian, you know. Oh, I'd never tell them I go to church. They'd think I'm afraid to tell my family that I go to church. They'll think I'm a... Who are you scared of more, God or them? Now, I'm going to give you an example of a man who fears man. The Bible said, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Turn to Matthew chapter number 14. And I'm going to show you in the Bible, and I'm going to have you turn to several scriptures tonight. I don't usually do that. I just read one and haul off and preach. But tonight, we're going just a little bit slower. All right. Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to show you a verse of Scripture here, and then maybe another one in Mark in just a few minutes. Matthew chapter 14. Now look at Matthew 14. There's a man here by the name of Herod. And King Herod was what we used to call a scaredy cat. And even when I was real little, heard kids say, Fraidy cat. Anybody in here ever hear them say, Fraidy cat, Fraidy cat, Fraidy cat? All right, scaredy cat is what we used to say. And then they started saying, chicken. He was a big chicken. He was the king of the land, but he was a chicken. He was somebody, you know who it reminds me of nowadays? Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein is not a big, big, brave man. He's big and brave and told him suicide bombers. All these people that's telling these suicide bombers, go in there and blow yourself up, they don't never do it. Bin Laden won't do it. He's hid over yonder in a hut somewhere, scared out of his mind. They're going to find him. Saddam Hussein, same way, big chicken, hid in a hole over there somewhere, letting them poor stupid boys go out there and kill herself. And really, them are not brave people. In Matthew 14, look at verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, for he is risen from the dead. Therefore, mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Look at here. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. So this guy had shacked up with his brother's wife and even married his brother's wife. There's your woman with two living husbands. She was married to Herod's brother, and she was married to Herod. The only way a person can have two husbands is be married to two men. The only way a man can have two wives is be married to two women. And she was. And he was scared. Look at verse number four. For John had said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her, because that was his brother's wife. And when he would have put him to death, look at this. He feared the multitude. He feared the multitude because they counted John as a prophet. Now, I want to tell this story a little bit tonight. And this, I'll keep your Bibles ready because I'm going to have you turn to another verse or two. This verse is a bomb. This verse is one of them that just falls out of the sky and just goes blam and just wreaks havoc all over the church when it falls on it. It's going to fall on us tonight. And it said, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And I'm going to challenge you tonight, every person in here tonight, all you. How many of you people in here got to go to work tomorrow? Raise your hand. If you got a job, you got to go to work tomorrow. All right. How many got to go to school tomorrow? Raise your hand. That's just about 99% of the people in here. All right. Rest of you will lay on the couch all day, I reckon. And I hope you have a good day. But for the rest of us, as we go out to face this old world, brother, it's going to be a tough thing. And so you need to quit fearing man and start fearing God. Have you ever read in your Bible and talked about all the terrible things that happened because people were scared of men? Think about it. This verse here, fear causes Pilate to reject Jesus Christ. Pilate was scared. Pilate really didn't want to have Jesus crucified. But he was scared of that big crowd of people. Isn't that a sad thing? You know what? Fear causes the Pharisees to reject the light there in Matthew 21. Fear caused Adam to lie and hide from God way back yonder in the Garden of Eden. He was scared to face God. You know what? Fear caused Abraham to lie about his wife. When he told that other guy, he said, oh, this is my sister. He was scared of what would happen to him. People do all kinds of crazy things because they're scared of what's going to happen if they don't give in. If we was more afraid of God and less afraid of what people think, we'd be a whole lot better off. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Amen. Fear caused David to act like a fool there in 1 Samuel 21. You know, David, they come to get him one time, and he was so afraid that he acted like he was crazy. He went blah, 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 slobber come down his jaws and everything. And they said, well, he's crazy. Leave him alone. Fear of man caused him to do that. Pretty smart. But it was fear of man that caused him to do it. The fear of man is what causes a junior high school student to join a gang. He's not doing that because he's brave. He's doing it because he's scared of what somebody's going to think of. Fear of man is what causes a teenager to take their first drink of beer. You know what causes a teenager to take a drink of beer? They're scared of what their friends going to say about them if they don't. They don't naturally just say, I want to go out and drink beer. Everybody else is drinking. And they'll say, here, you want one? And they think if I say no, they're going to think I'm a chicken. And if I say no, they're scared to stand up and say no. I'll never forget, I was coming home from a ball game one night. I was about 13. I was in a car with a bunch of older boys. That's always a mistake, letting your younger teenagers go somewhere with a bunch of older ones. Hang out with them all the time. I was 13. Them boys were 17, 18. They was coming up the road. One of them reached under the seat and pulled out a six-pack of beer. And they was cussing and taking God's name in vain. And one of them, they started popping them things and handing them to each other. And they handed one to me. And my daddy was an alcoholic. And I saw what alcohol can do to a person. I saw my uncle laid drunk in our basement when him and his wife had gotten in a fight. And mom let him sleep in the basement for a day or two on the couch. And I was scared of it. And you say, what'd you do, Brother Danny? I reached out and I took that beer like that right there. And I pulled it in, and I wasn't going to drink it. There's no way I was going to drink it. But I didn't want them to think that I wasn't as big and brave as they was. You know what I'm talking about? And I took that beer like that and popped the top. And they all put theirs up. I put mine up. I just put it up here and didn't even taste it. I just put it up and acted like I was drinking it. And you say, well, you big chicken, you've done stuff just like that. And some of you smoke pot because you're scared of what your friend. Listen, you know there's a lot of girls lose their virginity and they have sexual relations for the first time, not because they want to, because they're pressured into it and they're scared what the other people will say. Oh, you mean you've now, yeah, say, yeah, I'm proud of it, amen. But they're too afraid to do that. Don't want to stick out. Don't want to be an oddball. They want to fit in with everybody else. And boy, I took that beer, you know, and I sit there, and they drunk it. Finally, they all started finishing up, so I acted like I finished up. And I rolled the window down about that far and slung it out the window and rolled the window up real quick. Because I didn't want them to hear it hit the pavement. Because when they threw theirs out, it went ding, 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 ding. Mine went dunk. You know, and just laid there. And I said, I ain't gonna let them hear it hit there. So I, you know what made me do that? The fear of man. I tell you what, things have changed since then. Offer me a beer now and see what I say. I've been offered them. You say, you're a preacher. You've been up. Oh, yeah, lots of time. I've knocked on doors before. Bunch of old rednecks sitting in there partying. Let them say, here, you want a beer, preacher? I said, do I look stupid? Amen. You know why? Because I fear God more than I fear them. I couldn't care less what they think about me now. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Somebody gave me a gift certificate to the Olive Garden. And I'd never go to them places like that because you get cheated majorly. I know some of you women disagree with that. That's because you're a vegetarian or something, or a pastatarian or something or another. But you get majorly cheated. You don't get enough meat. You go for the atmosphere, brother. I go for the meat. Hey, when I go to eat out, I don't care if I got flies on the wall. Bless God. I want meat. I'm going to pay for it. Say amen, fellas. I want steak. I want ham. And you say, well, they put a little chicken in it, about that much. And a big pile of noodles. And, you know, and somebody bought me a gift too. So here I went to the Olive Garden. I went by myself. You say, bro, people tell me all the time, say, how in the world can you go out? I do it all the time and I love it. It's cheaper. You know what I've got to do? Somebody asked me the other night, said, where are you going Friday night? I said, I'm taking myself out. You don't get in an argument. You don't have to say, do you want to go here? Do you want to go there? What do you want to do? Heck with it, man. I just go where I want to. Look at what I want to. Eat what I want to. It's fun when you do it like that. That's what I told them. They said, there's no way in the world I'd go to a restaurant and say, oh, yeah, I do, man. Somebody looks at me and goes, what's your problem? You know, like that. But I went in the Olive Garden and I sat down. And this guy came up to me. Something wrong with the, you know, I don't like guy waitresses. This guy came up to me and said, how are you today? I said, okay. He said, we'll give you a sample of our wine. We have a sample of wine. He was going to give me wine. And I said, look, I have a brain in my head. I wasn't trying to be it. The Bible said, if anybody drinks wine, they're not smart. He said, really? I said, yeah. It says anybody drinks wine's not smart. I said, the Bible said wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Not wise means not smart. Amen. You say, well, I know somebody's smart. No, you don't. That's why they're not too smart or they'd leave it alone. Amen. Well, anyway, I ain't got time to get into all that. But anyway, that's what the fear of man will do. People drink it socially just because everybody else does. Well, everybody else does. If I don't, they're going to think I'm judging them, or they're going to think I'm holier than thou, and it's socially acceptable. Yeah, whatever. Amen. The devil's socially acceptable, brother. I'm telling you what. The fear. Now, let's talk about fear just for a minute tonight. Fear. That word fear, we have phobias. Now, I'll give you some of them tonight. The fear of close places is what? Claustrophobia. You're doing good. The fear of light? Photophobia. The fear of little things? Microphobia. When you're scared of little tiny things, spiders and worms and stuff. The fear of man? Anthrophobia. The fear of the dead? Necrophobia. The fear of high places? Acrophobia. The fear of pain? Algophobia. The fear of dirt? Mysophobia. Wow, there's dirt. Ooh, I don't like that. People are like that. Weird. The fear of water, hydrophobia. The fear of darkness, necrophobia. The fear of blood, hemophobia. And the fear of queers, homophobia. That's right. That's right. We don't have it. That's what Phil Donahue said we had. Somebody said, Phil Donahue said, oh, you Christians, you're just homophobic. We don't have homophobia. We have homo-nausea. Amen. There's just something about a man sticking his tongue in another man's mouth that makes us want to puke. Really, really, it really does. I was born like this. Don't judge me. I can't help it. It's in my genes. I just can't stand to see two men kiss. Don't judge me. You're judging. I'm telling you tonight, that's fear, the fear of man. Now, old Herod, he was the perfect, miserable soul. He was afraid of his shadow. If there's anything I can't stand, it's a big shot up in power that's scared of his shadow. Like old Howard Hughes, you know, people like that. How poor old Howard Hughes owned the Spruce Goose and millions of dollars and everything else, and he lived in a little room like this and scared of germs and wouldn't let nobody. It's like one of those great leaders I read about, like... I don't know. I forget who it was. I think I'll hear in a minute. Maybe one of those great leaders, Napoleon or somebody, had a house with about 8 bedrooms and slept in a different one every night because he's scared to death somebody's going to come in and kill him. And he's scared to death somebody's out to get him all the time. Scared. Oh, Herod, he feared the multitude. He was afraid of the majority of the people. Now, you listen to me tonight. You hear me and you hear me well. You will never amount to one thing for God Almighty if you fear the multitude. If what drives you is public opinion, you will never do nothing for God. I will tell you something here tonight, and you listen to me real good. This world has never accepted the gospel. It never has accepted the Lord. This world hates that Bible. And brother, you cannot walk with God Almighty and be accepted by this world at the same time. Now, you just as well get that through your head tonight. All you teenagers, listen to me, girls. All you teenagers here tonight, you think you can go to church and say, I just love the Lord and I'm spiritual, but yet be in the world too, and they all accept you too? It ain't gonna happen. Well, you will be rejected by them if you walk with Him, and you'll be rejected by Him if you walk with them. You can't go two different directions at the same time. You can't go up and down at the same time. You can't have one foot in Canaan and the other in Egypt and walk two different directions. It is impossible. You fear the multitude. I'm telling you, old Herod, he was afraid of the crowd. I've told you many, many times before about what happened to me. And I know we have new Christians in here tonight, and I might tell it again. I don't know. But I tell you what, we need to understand that. We need to constantly understand that their fear. People are afraid of being poisoned. People are afraid of this, afraid of that. They'll say, if I do that, what will people think about me? I've told this story many times. I told it at camp, but for the new ones here tonight, I'll tell you again. When I got saved, I mean, I got a dose. Ain't no doubt about it. I got a dose when I got saved. The people that I went to school with would have never, if you lined up my high school graduating class, ask Miss Judy. She was 8 or 10 years behind me. Amen. Give me 5 right there. I done you a favor right there. No, she wasn't actually, but she remembered my graduating class. If you'd land them all up right there and said, which one of them guys is going to be a preacher, I'll guarantee you I would have been in the bottom 2. I'm telling you, that's not him. He ain't going to be no preacher. And I didn't think I was either. But the night I got saved, I'll never forget the night I got saved. Oh, my Lord. I never, never, ever, ever had I felt or experienced anything like that. I'm telling you, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I bawled for 45 minutes. I tell you, I laid in the altar up there at Nebo Baptist Church, straight up that road right there, 15 miles on the left on the hill. And boy, I stood up 45 minutes later, a brand new baby in Christ. And that night, they was shaking my hands. And the night I got saved, there was a bunch of kids from school. I mean, the place was packed. And I was sitting right back here on this side. And I had this girl that I brought here and my cousin here. And my cousin said, hey, man, let's go get saved. And I said, I ain't going to get saved. I ain't ready to get saved. I had a little old MG with a little gear shift about that long. And I had a motorcycle, too. I rode one day, one the other day. And I had that little old MG. and I drove it to church that night. I put seven people in that thing before. Seven people in an MG. Two little seats. Where you boys been? Now, I'm going to tell you what, boy. You, amen. And I'll tell you something, buddy. Listen, we was going up through there, and I went to that altar, and I got born again. And when I got saved, everything changed. I'm telling you, everything changed. God done something in my heart, and somebody come up to me that night and hugged my neck and said, boy, Danny, I'm proud of you. You're going to be a preacher. I said, yeah, right. I'm in church. That's enough right there. Make a long story short, I started getting in there. My hair was about down to here, about as long as, let's see, one of these girls here, one of them right in there, maybe. And my hair was down there. Old boys had long hair back then. And I had my all my rock and roll tapes. Alice Cooper, we used to listen to Alice Cooper all the time. He'd have that snake wrapped around him, you know, and all that stuff. And I remember waxing that MG on Saturday night because I wanted it to look good for church on Sunday morning. Listen to my Alice Cooper tape, just getting the biggest blessing ever was. That's the truth. I mean, it's crazy stuff like big black shape with eyes up like that, man. I said, glory to God, it's good to be saved. We ain't have no sense. Just have been saved just a few weeks. Now, I can't listen to that now and get a blessing. And you can't neither. But I'll tell you, brother, I mean, God had mercy on us when we first got saved. And boy, I mean, we had Grand Funk Railroad and all that stuff like that. And I mean, we had speakers sitting out on my MG. We'd go over at Nebo School and play basketball and set the speakers out on the back of the car, big speakers, and crank it up and play ball with that music. And boy, I'm telling you, I was having a time. I mean, I was saved, and we started going to church, and I loved it. I loved it. And about 2 or 3 months after I got saved, I was sitting on the front seat one night beside Sister Nedra Bradley. And Nedra went to school with me. She'd got on fire for God, went to Appalachian College. And a bunch from Appalachian came down to Marion or Nebo. And that's the group that sort of sparked off that revival. Plus the women fasting and Joe Parson getting up and praying every morning for 40 years about 5 o'clock in the morning. And boy, I tell you, that revival got on. And me and Nedra sat on the front row. And we sat there. And buddy, she told me. She said, Danny, why don't you just sell out? And you said, I said, you know what? I think I want to. She said, Danny, just give in everything. Now, right there is where some of you young people are here tonight. You're saved, but you've never really just give God everything. You still want to be cool, you know. You still want to just sort of fit in out there and fit in here. And I thought, you know what? Man ain't got but one life. Let's go for it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to jump in head over heels, glory to God. I always have been one to want to be on the edge, you know, try something different. And boy, I hit the altar and I gave God everything. Well, the Lord got real in my heart. And me and a bunch of boys got together every night and had Bible study. Like we boys did at camp, I'm telling you, we'd get together about 6 or 8 of us, or maybe 10 of us. I mean, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I was 18. Some of us 19, 20, 21, and we'd sit and study the Bible. I'll never forget it. You talk about some divers and sundry doctrines. Oh, you never heard such doctrine in your life. We didn't know nothing. We'd come in there in the Bible. Lord, have mercy. I preached to them one night that Noah stayed in the ark 7 days before it started raining. And I said, Lord of God, that's a picture. I didn't know what bit more what I was talking about than a man in the moon. And we preached. I said, you've heard me say it. I called the book of Malachi, I did. I really did. I said, it's over there in Malachi. In Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. I said, I thought an epistle was an apostle's wife, brother. I mean, some of you ain't laughing because you still don't know the difference. But I'm telling you something, brother. I was dumb. I was dumb when it come to the Bible. I called Habakkuk. I did. You ought to heard me. I said, Miller, Shaler, Hash, Baz, Begat, Bido, Dido, Sido, Bido. Then I thought, Lord, have mercy. I tried to say every word in the Bible. Oh, my Lord. What, we read over there where you wasn't supposed to make no likeness of anything. And we said, tear all the pictures down. We don't want no pictures in the house. Pictures are idols. We's crazy, man. But God looked down and he said, boys, I like it. We used to give each other 10 minutes to study. And then we'd preach a sermon to each other. Everybody study 10 minutes. Well, we'd study the Bible, David and Goliath, you know, Jonah and the whale, and then we'd go around preaching to each other. Well, it's during one of these times when the Holy Ghost fell on us. I mean, the Lord got on us, and we said, let's go witness, let's go witness, let's go witness, let's go witness, man, I want to witness so bad I can't stand it. I want to witness. Let's go witnessing. And I said, let's go. And they've got to where they'd go up on Main Street in Marion and preach and witness. And I was chicken to do it. I was still scared because I just got out of high school and I didn't want the ball players, the cheerleaders, and everybody. I mean, think about going right in front of your school and standing up there with a Bible and giving out tracts on Main Street. You say, that ain't no big deal. All right, do it Saturday. Try it. And your hometown's the hardest place in the world to do it. I could come down here to Morgan and do it. I could go to Asheville and do it. But when they said, let's go to Marion, I'd say, oh, boys, I'm busy. I don't know. I was scared. Fear of man. And, buddy, I'll tell you what. I'll never forget. I remember we got fired up with God that night, and we got in this one boy's van, and we came down here to Morganton. And they said, let's go witness. And I said, glory to God, let's go. I said, amen. Because every time I went to Marion, I seen them boys on the ball team, and I saw the cheerleaders, and I saw people in school. I saw one of my teachers. I saw one of my teachers at Hardy's in Marion. And I hadn't been saved long, and I heard her. She was my math teacher, and she was sort of young and sort of pretty, and the boys flirted with her in school. I mean, flirted with the teacher. Yeah, she was wicked, too. And she flirted with us, too. Amen? So I should have told on her, but we didn't. And she flirted with us all the time. And them boys talked junk to her. And we were sitting in Hardy's one day. And she was sitting back there with somebody. And I heard her. She said, that's Danny Castle. And the other one said, you know how people turn around? You just feel them staring at you. So you just look around like that. She said, he's got into some kind of religion. He was a good guy, you know. But something's happened to him. I was up there saying, hallelujah, you're right. Something sure did happen to me. Yo ho. I said, you're just mad. And I remember saying that thing. I thought, listen, and boy, I tell you, buddy, listen, I sat there that night, or that day, but I was scared. I didn't go over and talk to him. I was chicken. I stole one of the first McDowell Titan jerseys that's ever been made. Before they even wore them, I stole one. I hate to tell you that. But I worked at East McDowell Junior High and run the PE program for the summer, and they got the jerseys in there, and I said, boys, I know where the jerseys are for the new football team. Nobody's even seen them yet. You want me to get one? They said, yeah, man, get us one. So I snuck in there and got one, and look at that, and they was wearing it, really scared to wear it out because they was afraid. And then after I got saved, I went back to the coach up there, and I told him that I'd stole it. And I said, I'll pay for whatever that thing cost. Well, I wasn't a thief. I didn't go around stealing stuff. I just thought it'd be cool to have a McDowell Titan jersey before anybody got one. And, you know, just stupid stuff like that. And I went back and I told him, I said, I'm sorry. I went in Rose's one time and laid down the money for a pair of socks I took out of there before I got saved. I couldn't stand. I thought, I got to get this thing right. It wasn't my 50 cent. And I remember sitting there and I thought, I'll go anywhere else and witness, but not Marion. Because honestly, I've only been saved a few months and they'll laugh at me. I'm scared of them. We come down here that night, and the power of God got on there in that van, and boy, we was all in there praying, shouting, glory to God. Woo! It got foggy in there. That old van boy was all fogged up. We was in there shouting, hallelujah. They said, let's go witness. Let's go. I said, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Show me a sinner. Show me a sinner. Show me a sinner, and I'll witness to them. I don't care who it is, how big they are, where they're at. Let's go find us some sinners. I feel sorry for the first sinner we find. Let's go. Buddy, we're all going to jump on it. There's about six or eight of us. We drove over here, and that's when Hardee's was over here in town. And there wasn't, you know, a million restaurants out around here then like they are now. We drove out in Hardee's in town. We took our Bibles. We took our tracts. I mean, just like this right here, man. Here we was, 18 years old, having a Bible up under my arm like this, going in there looking for a sinner. There wasn't a sinner in there. I mean, we got a milkshake. We looked for, that girl said, what you want? I want a milkshake. I had a chocolate milkshake. And boy, we got that in there. We was looking for a sinner, looking for a sinner. I said, man, I want to witness somebody. About that time, one of them said, look! And I turned around and looked, and there was a bus. Lord, it was looked like it as long as this building. And about 50 cars right behind it, and it said, McDowell High School. That's the truth. That's the truth. I got sick to my stomach. I thought I was going to throw up. I said, you talk about knocking the shout out of somebody. Oh boy, big brave brother Danny. Yes, tell him, amen. I went, uh-oh. and it couldn't have been worse.
I said, this is a dirty trick to pull on me, God. How could you do this to me? How about one at a time uptown?
Son, every one of them, the cheerleader, here they come, off of the bus, 50 cars right behind them. I bet you there's 150 of them people. Here they come off the bus. You know how they ain't got no sense. Demons got in them at that ball game. And they started acting like that, you know. They was all coming in there. But I was in a mess, son. If it hadn't have been for them other guys, I'd have shot out that back door 90 miles an hour. I thought, here I done run my mouth. And now I can't leave. They all crowded around me. And a bunch of my friends got around me that I played ball with. See, I was supposed to went one more year. But I didn't. Because my daddy snuck me in school when I was 5 years old. And if you get in when you're five, you graduate when you're 17. And I was actually supposed to went one more year. And I thank God I didn't. Because my buddies that went up there, they got full of the devil and got on drugs and everything else. But God had his hand on my life. And I remember standing there, and they all crowd around me. And young people, I want you to listen. Right then I count that as one of the most important turning points of my young Christian life. Right then was going to make me or break me. And I stood there, and just for a minute I said, all right, Lord. This crowd here, they didn't care if I died and went to hell. And they don't care now. But you're the one that saved me. And you're the one that loved me. And you're the one I'm going to answer to. And if you'll help me right now, I'm going to get this over with. And when I said that, something went. And brother, I felt like Clark Kent had just opened up his jacket. I ain't kidding you, man. I felt like this Super Danny. Amen. Bring it on, bless God. That's the way I felt. And you know what that is? They said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. I was scared in my flesh, but brother, God got on me that night. And I remember I stood there, and I stood my ground. And try this, teenagers. Everybody I went to school with made a circle around me and pointed their finger at me and laughed at me. And them girls said, God, Danny, what happened to you? I said, I got saved. I said, I'm going to heaven. We heard you don't even go to the movies no more. We heard you're crazy. We heard you. I said, listen, let me tell y'all something. I said, I'm going the other way. I said, if you won't go with me, I'd love to have you. But I said, if you don't, this is it. This is a parting of the ways. I'm going with the Lord. And I'm telling you, brother, God bless the fool out of me for that. I'm telling you, they backed down. They were scared. And we had the best time. I laid down that night. And from that day to this, I ain't never been scared of them. Never. The fear of man brings a snare. Now it's the other way around. When they see me come in hard, they say, oh, Lord, there he is. Let's go. Let's go. He's going to preach to us. Amen. I've seen him. Don't let him see us. He's going to start. He's going to get on us. Now, take it easy. And then I like that. I say, come on. Amen. Now, listen. You're either going to fear God more than you fear them, or you're going to be scared of them and not fear God enough. I ain't got time to tell you about all this about Herod, but after that, we went to Myrtle Beach. And me and these boys went to Myrtle Beach on the 4th of July to preach. We didn't go to the beach. The beach went to preach the beach. And we went down there on the 3rd of July and took an old van. And I had an old yellow van, and it said, Jesus is coming soon on the back of it. Letters this big. I got a picture of it at home. Son, you couldn't miss it. Had a big white ladder on top of it that I had a man weld for me, and a big piece of plywood platform on top of that old Ford van. And we'd climb up that ladder and get on top of that thing and preach. We do it every Saturday. We went all over Johnson City, Elizabethan, Gatlinburg, Chattanooga, Atlanta, everywhere. We went everywhere. We took missionary journeys. And me and all these guys, we'd get together. And listen, brother, that's some of the best training I ever had in my life. Grab you a bunch of guys, a bunch of tracks, and hit them streets. You can get a better education about how the world and the gospel don't mix than you can do in 10 years of seminary. And son, I got out there. And here we was at Myrtle Beach with shirts and ties on. Had on short sleeve shirt and a tie. It had to be 110 degrees. Didn't have no air conditioning. I'll be honest with you.
Here's where it went. We said, all right, now, boys, this is Myrtle Beach. This is the best place on planet Earth. We said we got to stay right with God here somehow or another. We said, go out there and give out tracts. If you feel yourself start getting tempted or anything, just run back in here and pray. And then boys, they'd go out there and give out tracts. A few minutes, they'd be in there and praying, oh, God, help. Oh, God, help. And they'd be back out there. They'd be back out there giving out tracts. Then they'd be out, you say, Brother Danny, your foot. I know what you do. You just stay out there backslid. Don't even try to get right. And you know what? We go in there and we'd try to say, oh, God, please help us get the demons out of here. Oh, God. Then we'd go out there right with God again. Well, we got that evening, and I'm telling you, it was packed full. There was people. It was like a Christmas parade. People coming down through there. I mean, thousands, tens of thousands. And I told them, I said, boys, I want to preach. And they said, Brother Danny, that might be against the law. I said, man, I want to. I feel like I need to. I want to preach. They said, well, go ahead. I said, I'm scared. And they said, well, let's go. And I said, no, I want to preach. And they said, well, go ahead. And I said, no. And they said, well, come on, let's go eat. And I said, I won't preach. And they said, well, preach. I said, I'm scared to. And they said, well, if you're going to preach, preach. If you ain't, we're going to the steakhouse. And I said, I can't go to the steakhouse until I preach. And I remember I had a headache. And for some reason or another, I thought, I'm going to try it. They said, don't you think you ought to ask the police? And, well, that's a dumb thing. Well, you think you're going to say, yes, son, you go right ahead. It's easier to ask forgiveness than it is permission. And when the Lord lays on your heart to preach, you don't have to ask nobody else. And but I remember I was standing there, and there's 10,000 people going up down the street. So here I stood. I was the only one out there that had a shirt on. I mean, bikinis, and all the guys was topless, and the girls was middle-less. And they was all walking up down the street, and here I stood. Like a little nerd again. And I thought, well, here goes. Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. I said, now listen, you guys, tell me. If the cops start coming, tell me. I started out like this. The Bible says there's going to come a day when God's going to judge the world, people. About that tone of voice right there. Nobody wasn't paying no attention. And I said, you know, one of these days Jesus is coming back. And a couple of people would turn and look at me like that, you know. They was walking down the street. And I said, and I got a little bit braver and a little bit braver and a little bit braver. And about the time that Holy Ghost come on me like it did in Hardy's that night. And I start saying, and the Bible says, prepare to meet God. There's a heaven. There's a hell. And by this time, buddy, I'd reached way up our third gear. And people stopped. And when they stopped, people couldn't get by, so they stopped. People couldn't get by, so they stopped. There's no telling. There's no telling how many people stopped and listened to me. They was crowded. There was thousands of people. And I mean, I was cutting loose. And them boys said, preach it, brother. Go ahead. And I said, the Bible says he's coming back. And every once in a while, there'd be somebody sitting there, some old woman. Everybody said, that's right, son. You tell him, young man. That's right. I started saying, well, what are you doing out here, you hypocrite? But I'd take any kind of amen I could take, brother. I'd take it, brother. Some old guys, them old men out there at the beach, you know, they look like a tick, you know? All they are is a big belly and little bitty legs walking around like that. And their girlfriend looks like an elephant with a diaper on and they're walking around out there. And boy, I'm telling you what, brother, it got on. God blessed. God blessed that night. Honestly, I don't see how people can go out in public like they go out. If you're going to dress like that, at least look good. At least. Of course, there's one thing about you. You don't have to worry about nobody lusting at you. But anyway, I'm telling you, buddy, I let it rip there for about 10 minutes. And the longer I preached, the braver I got. You preachers know what I'm talking about. You get to preaching, you ain't scared of nothing or nobody. How'd you get through? You think, oh my goodness, I can't believe I've done that, you know. Wonder if somebody hadn't killed me, hit you in the head with a beer can or something. And they'll throw them at you too. Well, we got through that. I got through preaching. And there was two girls and two boys, teenagers, started talking to me. I said, man, I ain't never seen nobody do that before. I said, I ain't either, tell you the truth, but sure did feel good. Felt like I was taken up for the Lord. You know, I felt like, well, I'm going to take up for you, Lord. This whole world's against you, but I want you to know I'm on your side. And you know what I done? See, a lot of people see me, and they see me preaching all over the United States and everything, and they say, well, how did you get to that point doing stuff like that when I was 19, 20? You ain't going to get nowhere for God wanting to be Mr. Cool and fit in with the world and wanting everybody to accept you and love you and then kind of sneak in and be a Christian while you're at church. You want to find out if you got some guts? You boys fight. Y'all are tough. These boys are tough. They really are. I mean, I ain't a sissy in the bunch. They're tough. They're tougher than I thought they was. But if you want to find out if you got some real guts, stand up on your main street and holler Jesus saves loud as you can. That takes some guts. Guts. Intestinal fortitude for you nice people. And you know what? When I got through preaching, they crowded around me and they started asking questions. And I said, we're going over to a steakhouse to eat. And there's four teenagers in line behind me. And while we was going through the line of the steakhouse, I was talking to them. And I was just spilling it out like that. And I remember one of them girls looked at her boyfriend and she said, he's for real. I said, yeah, man. He's for real. And that's what they want. That's what people are looking for. And I said, do you want me to come sit with you? And they said, sure. And the boys went over here and sat. And I took my little steak that I bought, little sirloin steak, and sat down there and eat with them. And I sat down there. And I don't even remember eating that steak. I just remember talking to them four, two girls and two boys. It was about 17, 18. And I said, come on out here, y'all. And we wound up in the back of that van praying, them getting saved. And they said, man, we ain't never met nobody like this. And all it takes is we got to fear God more than we're scared. Some of y'all, you're too scared of what your neighbors or your mama, daddy, or somebody going to think about. You'll never amount to nothing. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, I'm not saying go out here and be an idiot. We have had some idiots, which I won't go into tonight. I'll tell you about it sometime. Everybody always asked me about when I was on Sally Jesse Raphael show and all CNN, Fox, and everybody come to Marion. They was calling my house from all over the world. All over the world. We had some nuts. But just because there's some nuts don't mean we're not supposed to take our stand for Jesus Christ. Oh, Herod, he's a big chicken. He is a big chicken. My hope tonight is I'm not even going to finish the sermon. I'm going to stop right here. And my hope tonight is that you'll get down here and say, God, give me some of that. Give me some of that. I'm going to go to school tomorrow, and I'm going to take my stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what if my friends get mad at you? They ain't your friends. They ain't your friends. If people get mad at you for doing right, they ain't your friends. They're your enemy. They just claiming to be. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.